Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the brand new Utini Show, formerly known as the Living Force Podcast. If you want to get the full experience of this episode, make sure to head over to our YouTube channel where you can see our new setup as we discuss May the 4th and the state of Star Wars. We are so glad you're here. We're so glad to be back. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Utini Show, a show that is sometimes about Star Wars. Including tonight, I am Eric here with Corey, Charles, and Wes, and in honor of May the 4th coming up this weekend, which feels insane because it used to be March, we're talking tonight about kind of the state of the union of Star Wars, how we're feeling about it, where we are in our own personal fandoms, the direction of the franchise. So guys, I just want to say before we start here, it's been a hot minute since we've talked about Star Wars.
It has. We did a bunch of testing on the show. We have several unreleased episodes where we talked about various things and tech went to hell and didn't work at
Lots
all.
Lots of Star Wars talk in that.
Yeah, we only talked about Star Wars in those. Yeah. But then we started actually releasing the episodes and they weren't about Star Wars. So, you know, interesting to talk about it again.
Yeah, so hey, pump up the views, guys. If you want Star Wars, you gotta let us know.
You want to do a book podcast together?
You know what?
Only if we could also send books out to our listeners in like a box.
That's a good idea.
I think that would be good.
Subscription kind of thing.
Sounds very labor minimal.
Yeah, it does.
You know?
I like it.
That's actually
weird. You just crushed the hearts of all of the people that used to be the book box club.
There are dozens of us.
Wes, I will mail you books. Just say the word, man.
Just don't tell me what it is. Mail me books. How much was it? What? $11.99?
I think a single paperback was $11.99. I think the hardback one was like, I think it was $35, I believe.
Yeah. Which is now like the price of a hardcover. Like books get, this is where I show my privilege a little bit because I get review copies for Utini. Mm-hmm. I truly forget how much Star Wars books cost nowadays.
They're expensive.
Yeah. And which I think they got to be worth your while. And I think that that's actually, there's an interesting place to start this conversation. As far as, we stopped doing the Living Force, so we kind of stopped getting in our groove as much. We stopped doing Bounty Hunt ourselves. Bounty Hunt is still on the Utini Podcast Network. We have guested some. That's an incredible show. Make sure you're listening to them. But where are you guys in your fandom now in Star Wars, now that you don't have necessarily a book release calendar, now that movies haven't come out in a couple of years, shows are kind of more relaxed as you want? Like, where are you right now? How are you feeling about it?
I downloaded the Living Force book on my Kindle
yesterday,
actually. I was in the airport lounge.
That's like less than a month old.
I know. Yeah, I was like, I need to read a Star Wars book. I'm like this close to finishing the third Stormlight Archive Brandon Sanderson book, which is very good. It was like 59 hours, and the audiobook was.
It's so good. It's
ridiculous. I've been working on this in like January. And
we should just talk about that. Sorry, everybody. I lied to you. I was going to be presenting.
Instead. Yeah, I didn't load Living Force. I texted you, and I was like, I want to read a Star Wars book, I think, next, and what should I read? And you said Living Force and
Eye of Darkness, right?
Eye of Darkness.
Yeah. But Living Force was one. I put it up on the site. I was telling you guys as I was reading it, like, it really made me feel that Star Wars like connection for the first time in quite a while, in ways that I'd forgotten that I wanted, because it was like, oh, these characters we love, and I think John Jackson Miller did something special. So I'm really interested to see what you think about it.
Prequels will do that, man.
Yeah.
Prequel era will do that.
Yeah. Yeah. John Jackson Miller is a goat as well.
He is.
He's a goat.
He is. Did you not know that?
Literal goat.
Literal goat.
Yeah. What?
Well, I told you we don't need a soundboard.
Wait, you...
That was Goat Boy from SNL.
Okay.
That was very accurate.
It's probably the most authentic goat noise any of us can make. Like, I trust that's what a goat sounds like.
Yeah, I don't want to look it up.
You've never heard a goat around before? Goats.
I probably have, but it didn't make an impact on me. I didn't think I'd be podcasting about it.
I milked goats for a summer one time.
All right, I don't even know about
that. All right. That's a great story.
Was this before or after you forgot how to tie your shoes?
This was before the shoes.
Starting to make sense. Starting to connect the dots.
That's right. Yep, I was in high school. I worked on a goat farm for a summer.
Okay.
Got to milk the goats.
How was that?
It was, it was a little...
I
didn't use my hands to milk the udders.
What'd you use?
You use a little plastic gun thing, and you get it onto the teat, The teat.
Uh-huh. No, understood.
Say more.
Was for the first time he said
it. He didn't get the reaction he wanted.
Everyone,
for the
if you're listening to this on audio, I got to let you know, Corey's telling the story this whole time, and his eyes are going like, you know.
I swear to goodness.
Clearly you do.
He hasn't blinked once.
Wes has milked a cow or a goat or something, I bet.
I have pulled on an udder from a cow before, yes, with my hands. I have.
On an udder. Okay. Yeah.
I feel like
and milk it, but you pulled on that udder.
I believe it was an udder. I'm not completely positive. I'm pretty sure it was.
All right.
Anyway,
did you drink the goat milk?
Well, we would pasteurize it, and then we would make cheese out of it and stuff like that. But you know.
I've heard people like
what
the verb pasteurize?
No, I think just how casually, like, what are we talking about? Oh, we would pasteurize it, and then we'd make
Charles,
cheese.
You went
and then
to
we would load
school.
Up our wheelbarrow and walk it into town, and we would trade it for stones and glittery gems. Like, where were you, my guy?
West Virginia.
And then we made enough goat cheese to buy an electric light. It was one of the nearest adventures in the town.
What a battery.
Well,
yeah, Corey's a doctor, but weirdly, he has a weird relationship with penicillin. He doesn't believe in it, so I'd be a little wary of it. Yeah.
Where were we?
John Jackson Miller?
John Jackson Miller.
Obviously.
He's a goat.
He's a goat. Yeah.
Wow, we made it. I can't make a short out of that, guys. No. Again,
I don't know how I've never told you guys that before, considering we've been doing this for like 6 years.
I don't know. I think it's one of the D-tier stories you got, so I think it makes sense. You've been going through the good content first.
It was just one. It's just one summer. I got fired from that job, actually.
Because you were shooting the teats with a gun?
No.
I got from that story.
I don't really remember. I think I went on vacation and I didn't give enough notice, I think. But, you know, I think I gave the boss a notice, but not the manager.
And they're here today, everyone. Let's bring them out, everybody. Corey's old goat boss. Yay!
Did they have enough people wanting to work on this goat farm?
It was just
you're the only goat milker in the tri-state area.
It was me and my cousin. True story,
dude. What?
We worked on this farm, and it was a. You know,
it was me
like,
and my cousin, also
like,
my wife.
They're like 10 goats. And we would take care of the farm and milk the goats and cut the grass and among other things.
God. This is not a Star Wars podcast. Should we get...
That 15-second skip button on Spotify is doing some work right now to get through all this.
That's fair.
Okay. So, to answer your question, that brought back.
Yes.
What
did you milk?
I haven't milked anything. I also bought a Star Wars book, though. Recently. Yeah. I bought Eye of Darkness.
Okay.
I bought the hardcover because I still actually am collecting the High Republic stuff.
Yeah, looks good on a shelf.
Yeah, it does look good. I'm keeping them for now. So I got that. That's my next book after I finish the one I'm reading right now. And I actually am excited to get back to it because it's been... Yeah. This will be the first one I've read since whatever the last one was that we read for The Living Force, which is...
Path of Vengeance, maybe?
Okay.
The Kevin Scott?
I mean, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, but I needed that break.
I honestly think it was phase 2, the High Republic, like, threw me off. Like,
yeah.
Because I was, like, really into it, all phase 1.
Yeah.
And then phase 2, we've talked a lot about that.
It was polarizing.
The show was polarizing, and, you know, like, went back in time. It was harder. It was a little harder to follow, I think. But, like, and I don't know if I finished all of phase 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think we read most of it.
Yeah,
I think we finished it.
We finished it. But it's a weird thing too in that regard of like Star Wars. We are so of two minds as fans. I feel, you know, we're like we need more stories, but then also like slow down, but speed up appropriately. So when I'm in the mood, make sure there's something new. But when something new comes out, it means to be at a time when I'm not doing something else.
Yeah.
But not also, so long that I get behind. Like, it's a very weird balance.
There's also always that strange commentary of, like, did we need this? And
I know.
It's like, first of all, who's we? And the second of all, what is need?
Yeah,
like,
you need food and shelter and goat's milk, okay? It's the only three things that a human needs to survive.
That's true.
But like, the stakes get so high, I feel, within Star Wars fandom sometimes, especially those couple of years. I think we talked last episode briefly about what COVID did to our brains with entertainment of, like, this is my rock. This is what I have. Like, mm-hmm. like for a lot of, like, Star Wars was that relief. Like, The Mandalorian came out, like, and it was that moment of, oh, my God, I have something to look forward to. Like, these books would come out, and I can't see my friends, but I got the Star Wars book. Like, it was such a linchpin. Mm-hmm. And now we have so many things we can do that I feel like the, does it need to happen? Is it the best thing ever? Like, maybe it never needed that amount of stress on it. Maybe. I don't know. Personally, that's what I'm trying to pull back on. I'm trying to
I think the thing that happened was, like, I think the books were really all that sustained us for the longest time.
Yeah.
And then we started getting a lot of really important TV. Yeah. And then I think the books kind of unfortunately fell to the wayside a little bit. And now we're sort of in between projects, it feels like.
Yeah. Which is weird because I feel like sometimes we see these TV shows as like, this is the thing that is the most important that I put my time in.
Yeah.
It takes so much longer to read a book than it does to watch a TV show.
That's true.
Like, the time commitment to books is so much different. And I find it interesting now that, because Star Wars is in a transition period, I like what you said, Corey, about it feels like we're in between projects a little bit, and like High Republic is in phase three, but also there's other things starting, like the Mandalorian stuff is kind of maybe going to the movies. Like, Star Wars as a whole is in this pre-period of, we're going to get a bunch of movies, guys, that are going to matter a lot, and Thrawn showed up in Ahsoka, but then probably going to movies. Like, it feels like we are now in the, oh boy, like, yeah. I feel my anticipation starting to rise again, I think is what I'm trying to say. Like, I feel like this was the year of enjoying Star Wars, but being like, oh, in like 2 years, I think I'm going to be rabid all over again.
Interesting.
Maybe.
It's true. It's definitely a ramp-up period, but an adjustment all at the same time. It's the thing about Star Wars that I think is so interesting in, let's say, since we started the podcast, is like, there are these big movements, but they're still just the individual pockets, because like you're mentioning this stuff going to movie theaters, that's obviously what they're banking on, like, is like the future of the saga, and they're trying to funnel people in through the TV shows. And then there's the High Republic stuff, right? Which has been, it's so many people that are watching those shows going to go see those movies have no idea what that even is.
Yeah.
Have never even heard of that at all. But it all still is supposed to tie in with, like, it's very difficult to do all of that. So you got all these different pockets of Star Wars fans, and then you got the fandom as a whole, and it's got to work for everybody. And it can't. It can't. That's kind of the rule. It cannot.
And that's the huge thing, is that, like, there is such an idea now that there's so many projects that all Star Wars is for someone, but not all Star Wars is for everybody. Which is great, and why we get stuff like Andor and stuff like Ahsoka and stuff like Young Jedi Adventures, right? And I think the big test that is already off to a start that is not great, it's going to be The Acolyte. Is like, you're mentioning High Republic, people don't know what that is. I think they're like, okay, The Acolyte is going to give some lore, and so we're going to connect, and people are already so ready to destroy it or bank everything on it.
Is that a thing?
What?
Why do you say that The Acolyte is like set up for...
Great question.
I didn't know anything about it.
I love this. So a big thing we're seeing with the discourse, right, quote unquote, the discourse around The Acolyte, is that it is easily the most diverse Star Wars project that's coming out. So naturally, it got review bombed when the trailer came out. People saying it's woke Star Wars, like that is restarting essentially. Yeah. And I think this is similar to how Solo was kind of the, hey, can we go kind of outside the Skywalker films, that in Rogue One? Like, can we try this? Can we test a concept and see if we still want to do it? I think Acolyte is, yo, this is not at all connected to your regular person's movies. Like, Boba Fett is not going to be in this. Like, you are not going to have people from the cartoon. This is books, and this is a brand new era. So I think this is them saying, we're going to try it, and if this works... I think this gives a lot of credence to the Dawn of the Jedi movie. I think this gives a lot of credence to more creative freedom in Star Wars. And I don't know. Again, Disney Plus numbers are all fake, I think. Right? Yeah.
But I mean, that is how they should be using that platform. I would argue it is a testing ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, sure, you can take stuff to movies that really takes off or that really seems to catch people's fancy, but... It doesn't, like, everything, like, look at Kenobi. Like, obviously, that, you have looked at it.
Show rocks.
You have looked at it for a long time. Wonderful, right? Wonderful, I think, is one of my favorite projects ever for a lot of reasons. Yeah. But, like, it's not going to become a movie. You know what I mean? Like, it just is.
That's
it
right.
just is. And it's okay for it to just be.
I know.
Dang.
Just be.
I think be like, Kenobi. I think that is... Ultimately, in 2024, where we see Star Wars, where I think we want it to be and where it could be and where it has a risk of going. I think you nailed it there, Charles. That's my perfect Star Wars, is it is, and it will be. It just exists. Like, the stories exist, the characters do exist as they are, and we tell the story, and oh my gosh, we're good. And I'm worried that there's a possibility of, how does this affect this? How I'm reading this because I want to get the next thing, and I want, like, it's just always momentous, and it's almost anxiety-inducing.
Yeah, there's a weird sense of that with, like, this new era of Star Wars and live-action TV of, like, like, it all has to be connected. Like, they accidentally backed themselves in the corner a little bit with this whole, like, Mandoverse, Filoniverse thing.
Yeah, 9 ABY, dense year, guys. Yeah. Dense year.
Seriously, like, there's so much stuff that's going on, and it feels like it all has to build to something, and I don't know. There's a lot of commentary on, like, YouTube and stuff about, like, how Avengers has kind of, like, ruined movie making.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you have to make all these franchises connect and build up to one big thing, and then, then you have to try to achieve that over and over again, and it's just kind of, I agree. I kind of just want to watch the film or the TV show, and, like, it's just good.
You guys think the bubble popped? The Avengers franchise?
That's a good question.
Of build, because I think, like, Marvel, obviously, they're always going towards a big thing, but it almost feels like, obviously, the Marvel, Star Wars, Disney umbrella tries to do one tactic for a bunch of different projects, which it shouldn't, but it almost feels like they're almost doubling back on, no, we're going to make our most successful product their own thing. Like, Loki is very intertwined with the timeline, but it wasn't cameo fest. It was just this very integral story, and people loved it, and it was very successful. I'm like, it feels like a lot of the stuff they're starting to talk about might build new stories, like Fantastic Four will build new stories, but it's not necessarily stories that are based in the first Captain America movie. And
I don't think it was ever a bubble to begin with. I think I think the Avengers was a one-time success story that may never be repeated again in movie history. Frankly.
Yeah,
like most of the movies that led up to the Avengers were pretty good.
Yep,
like, there's a couple of them, like the second Thor movie, I think.
Dark World.
Yeah, which were kind of like, whatever. But like,
yeah, the Borg one was in it.
That's right. I remember that.
That got it one of the two stars that it needed.
That's right. Yeah,
Let's say that you've never seen the Avengers. You've never seen Endgame. You've never seen all the Marvel movies that led up to that. And you've watched Star Wars and you watched all these new projects. It doesn't feel like they're coming to a head at all on any of these shows.
I can sense that speaking, they like want to, though. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like they want to, but like...
I think marketing-wise and business-wise, it would be a smart idea. Because it would make the audience go back and watch everything and binge everything if they see that this all comes to a culmination of some big event where everybody gets talking about it. So they're like, oh, cray, now I got to stop and I got to go back and I got to consume everything.
But I think something that's interesting about like the Avengers model, at least from what I remember of it, and I honestly have largely stopped watching Marvel stuff, or I'm certainly not up to date, is... like the individual projects were very much standalone. Like, even though there's always that post credit scene that like teases the next thing, like, you know, whatever, the first Captain America movie, all of those movies, they were just like stories in and of themselves. And then later they started kind of crossing over.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little bit different with like, at least how it feels like what happened with the Ahsoka show, where they've introduced something that they've very clearly intend to pay off in a movie later. So it's like different format, not technically the same project. Like, it's weird. It feels like it doesn't stand as well on its own because it feels like it was all like a prelude to thing. But I want the thing to be the thing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I would also kind of argue that maybe I think the High Republic is maybe a little bit guilty of that too.
Well, because it started out as not that, which is interesting.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's why
we were like, hey, our dream, we've always wanted our projects, maybe as adults, maybe this is our thing, because our time is precious, and like, eventually we're all going to go into the grave. But we're like, listen.
Some sooner than others.
We said, listen, it's all that goat milk, man, going to your head. I want to know what I'm in for. Like, Star Wars is a trilogy. It's a trilogy of trilogies. We know that. High Republic is like, there's three phases, there's three adult books, or maybe two adult books. There's YA, but like, we started to dilute it, and now they're like, well, after phase three, we'll see where it goes. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I kind of just want to have your full things. Like, the fact that the Throne Ascendancy trilogy was like, Timothy Zahn is signed out for a trilogy. And it was great, because you know it ends. The Bad Batch right now, for instance. I'm all caught up with the Bad Batch. I think we are currently in the middle of quietly one of the best animated seasons of television we've ever gotten in Star Wars, because it's the last season. Mm-hmm. Like, these characters are going to be done. Andor season 2 is coming up, and you know where it ends? We do, because Tony Gilroy has told us a billion times, Rogue One! And he's like, the last scene is him walking through the market. Like, we know these things end, and we're like, cool, then this, all the stakes you need get to be within your story. And I think Star Wars is doing that here and there, and I think if we keep pushing to that, I think we could keep getting some really exciting stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that that's probably true. I think that we're sort of in a little bit of dangerous territory, a little bit. Like, State of the Union. The State of the Union is never like, everything is wonderful.
We're great, guys.
Yeah, yeah. No one ever says that.
Everything's awesome.
Right? There's always some snide remarks, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not going there. But I'm saying that, like...
No, okay, let's dive into that.
Let's not. I think we're in this weird position of Disney is making a lot of really kind of strange big moves in the last couple of years, it seems like. Bob Iger retired, and then his predecessor came
on. Bob Chapek.
Yep, Chapek came on.
Yep, Bob two
came on.
Second Bob.
I number two.
Everybody hated him.
Bob.
Robert.
Seemed like he was kind of a crappy dude.
Yep.
I think maybe he was a little bit of a scapegoat in some ways, probably. Mm-hmm. And then Iger's
famously the more business one as well. Was famously the numbers, money.
That's right.
Like, made a lot of decisions based on what he assumed would profit.
Right, right. And now Iger's back again. And, you know, they've talked a lot about the investor calls. The last 2 years has been interesting. JG on our team is always, like, tuned into the investor calls.
I love you, JG, for doing
this. That's super cool.
It's a great little play-by-play for us, Nick. What's going on? What's going on, buddy?
Yeah.
And it seems like
inside company tidbits that you would never get just by, like, scrolling, even reading and scrolling through, like, the benefits call or something like that, too.
How do you even find out when that call is, and how can you just hear
it's public.
That?
Yeah, buy some stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
Do you have Disney stock, Charles?
I do not own Disney stock, no.
You fool!
What's the guy's name on Mad Money? Is that his name? Mad Money?
Oh, Mad Money. Oh, my goodness.
Damn it. I know what that guy's name is. Yeah, anyway. Shit.
That's his name.
No, that's not it.
That's somewhere around there.
I'll get back to you.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, it seems like the things that are coming out of those investor calls are like, it seems like they are also a little worried about this whole Marvel thing, and they keep trying to get the bigger and bigger numbers, and the movies are crossing too much now, and there's a lot of corporate messing around, it seems like.
Yeah, but I think we're on the precipice of something really, really cool.
Maybe. Or a catastrophic failure. One of the
That's true.
One of the Disney Plus is like a weird experiment, right? Because more and more services keep getting bundled with Disney Plus now.
Because streaming's bad. Yeah. This is what we've actually learned. Streaming was never supposed to work like this, and now all the companies are like, oh no, we've just been underpaying everybody and then trying to get away with not having ads and giving all this stuff away for $10 a month, and then they realized, oh, we lose millions of dollars doing that, which is why like Netflix is increasing its thing and Disney Plus has increased its prices. Like, it's like triple of what it used to be. But
I know, it's ridiculous.
And now they're like, can we put in ads or commercials and bundle together with 65 other things and make it that? And you're like, that's cable.
That's cable. But with on demand. And you know what else is on demand? The Utini Discord community. Everybody, this episode is brought to you by the United over at utini.com/discord. We want to thank our entire Discord community, which guess what is brand new in 2024. If you head over to our Discord, you can join up for free. It's an absolutely free Discord, and you can meet thousands of like-minded fans in brand new channels with everything from Star Wars to individual Star Wars books to non-Star Wars books, movies, gaming, sports, whatever you want. There's always a conversation of like-minded fans going over at the United Discord. Head over there today, jump in whatever channel you want, and mute the ones you don't, because Discord is really scary if you have every channel on all the time. But go in, find some new friends, make some lifelong connections, and enjoy what you love about Star Wars. Again, thank you to utini.com/discord for being our sponsor of this week's episode. And now back to the horrors and the future of franchise entertainment.
That was off the dome.
It was good until that last little bit. You butchered it. Sorry.
Yeah,
I know.
Redo it. Redo it.
We don't edit these. This is Kyle does. Thanks, Kyle.
This is live.
But one thing I wanted to say before that totally natural ad read was one thing that I think is cool that we're going to.
Jim Cramer.
That's his name?
Jim Cramer.
That's his name.
Jim Cramer's cool.
You just Googled that while I was doing that ad read. Oh, God. So aside from streaming, like, yeah, becoming basically cable with on demand eventually, which I think in the next 5 years, there'll be like three services. I think this year in movies, we've actually seen a really cool shift in the social order of entertainment with things like, it's not a bit, with like Dune Part 2, I think is the most easy one right now. It's going to cross $700 million this week. And it was made on a budget that I think was $185, $190 before promotion, which is like two-thirds of a normal Marvel Star Wars movie. And it looks better. It's been more successful. And there was an interview I was reading with Denis Villeneuve, the director, that was like, how did you do these effect shots for so cheap? Like, they look incredible, and we've seen your budget. Like, how did this work? The Marvel stuff now looks fake. Like, and he literally said, unfortunately for those guys, there was a lack of corporate interference. Yeah. He's like, we pre-planned everything because we had a script. We pre-planned every shot, which means that on the day, we weren't adjusting things. We weren't rebuilding things. We knew exactly what we had to pay for materials. We knew what we had to pay to train the people. So on the day, there were no surprises. So the budget remained the budget the whole time. And I think we have seen so many studios in franchise entertainment panic spend about reshooting or getting stuff out fast, and we'll just fix it. And that becomes very, very expensive. And stuff like Dune is like, no, man, if you just have a plan, make your movie. Like, they didn't know they were going to make Dune Messiah. They thought they might. But he was also like, I'm going to make the movie. And then afterwards, if it's successful, we'll do another one. And I think that is an interesting thing that now that it is proven that it works, is going to be like, oh, you can't really deny that if you plan, you make a good movie.
But why does that sound like the standard? That should have been the very first movie that was made.
Exactly.
Any movie that had been made.
Yeah, I mean, well,
and then they should have built off of that.
Yeah. I think that's what, now we got a course break, because you're so right.
It's ironic, so though, because that is what, like, George was so afraid of. That's why he did all this on his own, and he made the movies on his own, and, like, he founded Lucasfilm,
But he made the Falcon out of duct tape. He didn't want to put all the budget in, because the risk of loss, I mean, you know, it's like, as a business fan yourself, like, once you start,
you're a fan of business.
Is he wrong, though?
Business is your fandom a little bit.
Who do you cheer for?
Business creation.
Go, business.
Yay, President Business. But like, the more you spend, the more stress you get, because the more you can lose. And like, the higher those budgets get, the more. It's why Solo had such a tough time, is that it made almost $400 million. But it flopped because the higher the reshoot budget got, the higher the issues got, the higher it got, the stakes became so high that it was going to fail.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you could have just made the movie when you're spending that much. So
how do you think they can course correct then at this moment? Because we're going to, like you said, we're in kind of a pivotal moment, I feel like. Yeah.
A detrimental moment.
Not necessarily a bad moment. No.
But it's a point.
But it feels like they can go in a couple different directions, some of which are good, some of which are kind of bad. Like, we got Disney Plus is sort of on the fritz a little bit, right? Yep. It's losing a ton of money. They've been very open about that. All the TV shows are all kind of leading to this eventual thing. Are those movies even going to make it? Are they going to get canceled? Mm-hmm. They keep canceling movies. Like, there's a lot of crazy whirlwind stuff. So how can they course correct, you think? And, like, get back to a little more stable, maybe the word to use, place.
Intentionality, I think, is really what I think. Like, have an idea of a project. And, like, we've seen, like, Tony Gilroy with Andor. Again, sorry for Andor talk again. Not sorry. It's the best thing Star Wars has ever done. Comment. I'm sorry. You're our fans. I don't mean to make fun of you. That's belittling. That's stupid. Thank you. Tony Gilroy wanted to make Andor, and he had a plan, and it was two seasons, and they're like, cool, let's make it. And I think that's the answer, is having creators that have an idea, or that are brought an idea that they agree with, and then you have a set time frame.
With a start and a stop. Yeah. That fits into the, you know, that's what the Expanded Universe used to be, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't just these endless trilogies that never went anywhere. It was like, this is the standalone thing, and it takes place in this gap in the timeline, and it's just good.
Shout out to Lydon's Look Back doing the entire New Jedi Order this year, which was planned, and they kept going, baby.
Just do it. And then maybe later on you add on to those stories.
It feels more complete. Yeah, like you say, it feels more complete. It doesn't feel like you're always searching for something after you're done with the book. Like, maybe this, maybe they can come up with another trilogy, another, what is it, nonodecology of books?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, 19 books, baby.
It did feel more complete when it was, even though I haven't read most of the Legends books, it just felt more complete whenever you would finish a book or a trilogy from way back when. But now it just feels like after a series or a show on Disney Plus is done, like everybody's anticipating of what is next, and it doesn't need to be that way.
What spinoffs?
Have you guys ever seen those pictures where it's a big picture made out of a bunch of little pictures of the same person?
Yeah,
it's like a face of Kobe Bryant, and it's like just like
a bunch of highlights,
2,000 pictures of small.
Yeah,
that's what this stuff should be like. Each one of those things is an individual, complete thing in and of itself, but it just so happens to be a part of the bigger picture. Like, it shouldn't be that, like, it shouldn't be like a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It should be like those things. Yeah. I don't know what those are called.
It's a collage.
Whatever those. It's a collage.
But it's giant collages.
I feel like I should have known that. But yeah.
Okay.
A bunch of little Kobe's into a big Kobe, and what people might see this way.
Make sure your safe search is on there, Wes.
That's the name of tonight's episode. A bunch of little Kobe's into a big Kobe.
Black Mamba forever. You know what it should be? This is going to sound weird. It should be Star Trek. And here's why. Hold.
What does that mean?
No,
it should be Star Trek.
I had to make sure everyone left first. Star Trek right now is doing an incredible thing for their fans, because Star Trek had the movies with Chris Pine in them. They released three of them. Tons of fun. Star Trek Beyond. Great movies. Currently, there are a number of Star Trek series running. There's, I think, New Frontiers is one. Picard. There's an animated one that's a little silly. And they have a bunch of novels being written, some by John Jackson Miller. And every Star Trek project is kind of its own ship and crew. And like, Picard is literally the next generation, folks, all came back. The New Frontiers one is all the new people, and they have their own vibe. Some of them are different timelines, but all of them have their own individual style and distinct vibe, but they're all very clearly Star Trek, and they own that, and I don't think they necessarily cross over, but they're all just dedicated to their bit, and I think that and every Star Trek fan that I know is loving it right now. They don't all watch everything, but like, my folks are big Star Trek fans, and they love the new stuff. They don't watch the animated one, but they watch Picard and the new show. Mm-hmm. And each show knows exactly what it is. Its tone is very specific, and its crew is all dedicated to that project, and that's what it is. They don't try to each be kind of the same product to hit every audience. And I think Star Wars could get there. Like, Skeleton Crew, Andor, and Ahsoka could all be very different shows.
Yeah.
And if they all just dedicated to their story and then ended it, I think that's what it could be good. I think that's why Clone Wars and Rebels are both such good shows. They're kind of a continuation, but they're really different.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what I want Star Wars to be.
But the fact remains that we don't hawk the Trek here.
No.
We don't.
Listen. Oh, sorry. I would say, the content is garbage. Don't watch it. Also,
we actually at some point should do a Star Trek episode. I've never
one of us is going to have to get our parents' Paramount Plus password, because who of us has Paramount Plus?
Who among us?
Who among
Wes, you Paramount Plus?
My parents have it.
There we go! That should be their only Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, your parents' favorite password.
What's on Paramount Plus? Why does everybody get that? Is it where Yellowstone is?
Yellowstone.
Yeah,
I was going to say, there's a reason that all the parents have Paramount Plus.
Well, it's Yellowstone. It's a lot of Nickelodeon is on there.
Let's print out that.
Star Trek? The Halo series is on there.
Let's print out that either.
No, it's Yellowstone.
It's Yellowstone. It's Yellowstone. It's Yellowstone. What's the spinoff of Yellowstone? Like 1883 or something?
There's a couple.
1883, 1913, and then there's going to be the Four Sixes,
yeah,
which is just a
spinoff.
I bet your family's not real in the Yellowstone West. I bet that's
yeah. Family. My mom and dad love it. They yeah. And
his family's in Yellowstone.
But, yeah, and listen. I know sometimes there's stereotypes, but let's just call a spade a spade. You're texting with parents that watch Yellowstone. Like it's very easy.
They have a podcast afterwards. They talk about it and they put it on.
Their parents do?
Yeah, and my grandmother.
That's not
real. That should have been the ad, Wes.
That's not real.
Your grandma has a Yellowstone podcast?
That's right. That's
not, what is it called?
Is it called Yellowstone? Does she just smoke a J after the episode and talk about it?
Gold.
That would have been an immediate subscribe.
Instantly. You gotta listen to it on a 3x speed though, because she just pauses a lot.
Interesting.
But yeah, I think that. But also, weirdly enough, Yellowstone. Good example. They do a show, mm-hmm. and then these limited series. That's how you get Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren to be in 1883. Is because they're like, listen, it's like 6 episodes. You know, we're gonna go back.
You're
in
not
time.
Supposed to. You're not supposed to plan a spinoff. You know what I mean?
No,
a spinoff is something that like you somebody the fans really latched on to one thing that happened in an episode or a show or something. And you're like, they love that. Let's see if we can expand on that.
That's like Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Like Breaking Bad was a full story. You didn't always know where it was going to go, and they adjusted, but then they had their ending, and the Better Call Saul came up, and they did that full story. And it's like, if you want to be episodic and just see when you get renewed, that's fine. Like, The Rookie does that on ABC, Nathan Fillion. It's like 7 seasons. They love it. It's not based on the universe of The Rookie, which I know there's spinoffs or whatever, but like, every week it's its own thing. That's kind of what Clone Wars was.
Yeah.
Whereas this is now trying to be that, but also... Also, it all matters.
I know. It seems like a lot of live action Star Wars TV is like there's a lot of like, is this a spinoff?
Yeah.
How do you feel about this character? Yeah. Like they shut up for 2 seconds. Spinoff. Like, that's how I feel.
Is this a soft launch? Is this a soft launch?
Is this a soft launch? Exactly.
Is it Snoke?
I know. You know, like in old cartoons and stuff. There's like a recurring trope of like. Like you have all the kids watch all the different types of cartoons, and you're scanning their brains to see which ones like they like latch onto.
Yeah,
you
know,
so that's what it feels like. Like how does this work with our test audience? You know what I mean? Like,
like
it just feels very corporatized. You know what I mean? So I think if they want to course correct, they gotta get back to the art. I think.
Yeah, just tell the stories you want to tell, and find your audience you're gonna find, and you know you're Star Wars, you're gonna be fine. Like just keep telling your stories and. And I think I do think we are on the road to get there, though. I earnestly think that it's going to take a while to fully turn around stuff, but I think that get back to the roots of, you know, like when the movie comes out, we'll get a couple tie-in novels. That's really fun. Like, The Bad Batch is ending. I'm sure we'll get another animated show that picks up somewhere else, and that'll be its own thing that doesn't have to tie to live action. Some of the live action won't tie to all the live action. And, like, get the creators that want to create and make it. Like,
that sounds good.
And I think we're on our way.
We have the opportunity to be certainly. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. Acolyte is going to be a big experiment, a big test for sure.
Yeah.
It's an untouched era of TV. We've never seen that done before. It started as books and turned into a show. I mean, there's a lot of ifs. So
yeah, like there's not a model to it too, which I find interesting. Like we talk about, you know, Marvelification and stuff, but like there's no rule book for how these things work. This has been tried on this level.
It's all uncharted territory. I think that is a bit of the risk. Is like Star Wars live action TV was never a thing. We never thought that was. I mean, I remember I was in Guatemala like a decade ago, and we were stuccoing the outside of this house, and I was talking to my buddy Andrew. This is
very
close in proximity to goats.
Is this after goat milk but before shoe amnesia?
Yes, that's exactly where it was.
There were Guatemalan goats.
The legend of Corey grows.
That's right.
Okay.
Anyway,
Guatemala.
Stuccoing this house, and I was talking to my buddy Andrew. We were talking about, like, I think it was around the Disney purchase, I think, actually. Mm-hmm. That's probably about the timeline it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it is post goat milk.
So 2012, 2013 is for those people that don't have a timeline at home.
After AGM. After it was 3 AGM after goat milk.
My brain made that the battle of goat milk in my head. With the udder, just like, firing goat milk at people.
Man. Approximately 3 AGM. We're stuck on the outside of this house. We're talking about Star Wars. I'm about live action Star Wars. Like, where's it going to be? What are we going to get? What are they going to do? What do you want to see? And I remember all of our ideas were like, I want to see a Darth Maul TV show. You know what I mean? I want to see... It was all like expansion stuff. Like, I would love to see a Han and Chewie adventures show. Yeah. Like, it wasn't this interconnected, all building to an Avengers. That wasn't even on our mind. Like, not even at all. It was just like, I just want
expansion.
I mean, that's what the model is for the for the books, right? It was like the expanded universe. You expand on the characters you love. Like, it doesn't have to be that connected. I don't know why they feel like they have to do that.
Because it worked. Because I think that's
only once, though. Mm-hmm. It only worked one time.
But it worked once. It made them billions of dollars.
That's true. It worked really, really well.
Yeah, it worked.
That's
like
another thing I think they're always trying to go after is they're trying to make the most money at the box office. And I understand that is a goal, right?
Yeah.
Because if your movie makes the most money out of any other movie, then you get that notoriety.
Yeah.
And then obviously you get the revenue from it. But you keep trying to one up over visual effects instead of the storyline, then it kind of suffers.
Just accept the fact that you can lower your budget, make a great movie. And I mean, last year was when I got the most faith in movies that I've had in a decade. Because the top earners were Oppenheimer and Barbie. Mm-hmm. Were movies that were made by auteur directors that weren't part of other franchises.
Yeah.
And they just made movies and people wanted to see them because they were really freaking good movies. And I think that they didn't have crazy budgets. They had enough, but they made umpteen millions over that. And if Star Wars is like, cool, our next movie, we're not going to do three a year. We're going to do a couple here. We're not going to pull a Solo where we release our Star Wars movie less than a month after a Marvel movie. Which is what happened. That's why Solo failed, because Infinity War was there. I will die on this hill. That movie rocks, and we failed it. Wasn't us. It was Disney. I keep attacking you, audience. I know what it is about me tonight. I'm having a thing. We should talk after. Meet me afterwards. We'll talk.
The picture is called a mosaic.
It's a mosaic.
I don't know if you're just polite or if you're really slow at Googling.
I'm waiting for an awkward pause and like, it's a mosaic.
I got it.
Jim Cramer.
I will say though, I do have a lot of hope though, honestly. Like, I do feel very cautiously optimistic about the future, Jim.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
there's a lot of like uncharted territory ahead of us that they sort of plan for, right? We have the Acolytes coming out, which is exciting. It's coming out just a couple months. That's crazy. Like in 2 months?
Yeah.
It's like very soon.
We also have Tales of the Empire this week.
Yes, Tales of the Empire is coming out.
Oh, wow.
The Acolytes coming out.
Forgetting, that's a whole show.
We got the...
We're working on an open world Star Wars game.
Star Wars Outlaws.
True.
Yo. True.
That's going to be fun.
Yo.
And then the movies that they've announced. Like, they're making a movie that you have to see the TV shows first to see the movie. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, one of them.
That's not been done before.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
And then they are banking on the sequel characters again with the Daisy Ridley movie, right? So, there are some risks that they're taking.
Yeah. And what I love about the new projects as well is that most of the interviews that go on with the creators so far. And of course, interviews are interviews, and do they say blah, blah, blah? Like, are they honest? Who knows? But a lot of them are like, I talked to Kathy Kennedy, and I had this idea that I didn't think she'd go for, and she said, yeah, let's do it. Like, it seems like they are pitching their dreams, and Lucasfilm lately is being like, you're very passionate. Let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Let's do that. And I think that is the direction we want to go. Like, what is the story you've always wanted to tell? Like, James Mangold, The Dawn of the Jedi, is probably my most anticipated movie. Because he was literally like, I want to know about the first Jedi. And I thought it was a little wild. And Kathy's like, no, let's go there. And now they brought on that writer from Andor who did the Narkeena 5 arc. That's like, I want to write really complex dialogue. And they're like, great, let's go there. And
one way out.
You know?
We'll see. I think that the more that they can hand the reins over to the creators, the better off we will be. I think George was right about that, always.
Yes.
I think that when you have people who don't understand movies, but they understand the business of movies, are making artistic decisions, I think it leads to bad outcomes.
Yep, just sign the checks and leave them alone. Kind of like what Corey does with Me With Utini.
That's not what I do.
So I was going to ask you guys, one thing, as we wrap up, I want to ask you guys kind of the softball question. Sorry, Wes, it's not actually about softball. I didn't want to get your hopes up. I wanted to dash those quickly.
Could be.
It is about Yellowstone.
It is about Yellowstone, your grandma's favorite show. Very simply, in 2024, as we record this right now, what's your favorite Star Wars project? Because each of us, they change on the day, I think. But if you're thinking, gosh, I want to pick up a Star Wars...
Like, ever?
If you think, what's my favorite thing about Star Wars right now, as it stands in your mood today?
I see.
Like, what does it mean to you? What's your favorite? Could be a movie, could be a show, could be a book.
Good question.
Yeah. Easy question that is also very intense because there's hundreds to choose from.
Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of angles to go about that with. I mean, I think the most enjoyable experience of anything in the last, like, several years, I think for me, Andor was the best product.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just start to finish. Like, we were just like, I don't have any criticism of this. I remember thinking, we talked about that a lot.
We did Bounty Hunt still at that point. We're like, I don't know. Like, it's perfect. What do you want from me?
I think the best, like, communal experience was probably season one of The Mandalorian.
That was really special.
It was.
It was really special.
We were like, damn, we just got like 8 hours of Star Wars content.
I remember the morning of that first episode being like, what? I couldn't even attention to the first 5 minutes. Like,
The riff of the music still like gives me, I have like memories associated with it.
I listened to it at the grocery store that week. Just like getting a grocery and be like,
but that was the drive to survive for what? F1. Mm-hmm. That was the ultimate fighter to UFC.
Yes.
Like The Mandalorian was like the big kickoff to people, like the masses coming to see what Star Wars all about, other than the niche Star Wars fans that were already there.
That's a great point.
Right? It made it really
even
mainstream.
More than the sequel trilogy, I think, honestly. I think like the Mandalorian kind of it didn't save Star Wars. It did change the trajectory of Star Wars forever.
It did. And I feel like we've lost that sense and nostalgia and excitement a little bit. Like we've shifted in this over analysis.
Yeah, like, was it that good? And I do that too. I am totally guilty of that. I was for a video we're doing coming up. I got a screen capture of the Luke Skywalker thing at the end of season two. And as I was like, just getting that for the video, I'm like, what's wrong with me? This was amazing. Like, I am like, Luke Skywalker showed up. That was the coolest thing in the world.
I think only watch
a young once. Impressionable
that's a good point. A good point. What of the new stuff do you actually revisit?
I've never watched any TV. I've watched the first episode of season one of The Mandalorian a couple times with the intention of like, I'm gonna watch the whole season again, but like,
I don't really watch stuff.
Even the stuff that I love, like Andor and Kenobi, I haven't watched any.
But how many times have you watched Revenge of the Sith?
Dude, a lot.
Yeah. Right?
Well, I didn't have Charles giving me all these books to read when I was watching Revenge of the Sith. That was the... but okay, so like Mandalorian and Andor kind of like are the mixture of what's doing it for you right now.
Yeah.
I love that. So.
I think Mando is a great answer. I think my answer, though, is still Kenobi. That is the thing that has been the most meaningful because for me, it was a spinoff I never thought was actually going to happen.
Yeah.
As many times as it was teased or as many times as people said that, he would do it or whatever.
Yeah, do you remember him coming out on stage?
Yes, I remember. I remember where I was, dude.
Yeah,
it's
me
like,
too.
What?
I know. I did too. I did too.
My buddy told me about it, and I had to look up the video after it happened.
Yeah.
I remember I broke a lamp. Remember me telling you guys about that? I threw the pillow and it knocked the lamp over and shattered it. Yes.
Are you going to play Obi-Wan Kenobi again?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that was great.
So yeah,
it was just a perfect thing about a spinoff that wasn't supposed to happen. So there was no anticipation there, right? It was like a wonderful amalgamation of all the newness of Star Wars with, for us at least, like nostalgia from childhood.
Yeah.
So like 100%. It's like for me, like that was just perfect recipe.
Yeah.
And the show itself paid off in spades for me.
Yeah, Kenobi was an interesting show because we got to like, man, that was such a weird experience on thinking back of it. Like we were also focused on the magic that we like, we didn't give a shit about the CGI was bad.
Yeah. No.
Or we didn't like, you know, there's a character development.
It's that meme of like, what is so great when no one's in your ear telling you it should be bad? It's like, because also it's not.
Like,
and
I remember finding out afterwards that like everybody was so upset about the Princess Leia chase scene.
Yeah.
And I'm that literally like, never occurred to me. I was just like, I was so enthralled in the man. Like, this is Princess Leia. This is cool.
We watched a celebration together on the big screen, and then Jimmy Smits came out with the other people that were in the show. I don't know who they are, but Jimmy Smits was there.
I know. And it was
you
like,
were there.
it was magic. It was magical. And like, I think the most exciting Star Wars projects, the ones that let you feel that that sort of eyes of a child thing. You know,
Obi-Wan Kenobi 100%. Was there, and it wasn't Ewan. It was Obi-Wan, and I think that's a great point. I love that you're like the magic of the nostalgia of the moment. And you're like the magic of the product. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right. Wes, what about you? What's your Star Wars as of right now?
Oddly enough, it is from the prequels, but it's not necessarily the movies themselves. It's after watching the prequels, it was getting into Battlefront 2, the video game.
Yeah.
Actually playing playing what I watched on TV was the first time that I've ever like been really like enthralled and really detailed into Star Wars, where I was like, I was in the video game, but I was also in the movie itself, like playing as Luke Skywalker, playing as those Jedi that I saw on there. And this was the first time that I was like, yes, this is something that I really, really enjoy.
Yeah.
But I had like the Battlefront 2 that came with 8 discs that I had to keep taking in and out. Because back in the day, kids, you had to buy a whole booklet of CDs that you'd put into your CD-ROM.
Oh, my God.
You'd not download those things.
You just a cup holder? It's just a cup holder, right?
Like, yeah. No, that's... No, I got to ask you.
Immersion. It was a new set of immersion because, you know, like, they had Super Nintendo, they had, like, Rogue Squadron video game, but it was never, like... It was never a part of the movies like it was when you first got out of *Siege: Phantom of the Menace* and you first got out of *Attack of the Clones*. Those particular video games that they made, mostly because they were PC games and the graphics were a lot better, but it was just they were online multiplayer. That was one of the
I was like, you were there, like friends. you played through the movie as kind of like watching the movie, but in Battlefront, like you were the clone, like you are on the battlefield. You are actively involved. Now the
campaign was so freaking good too.
It was so good, and that's why I've said it for Outlaws, honestly, because like if all the stuff, like whenever you go to jump to a new planet, a Star Wars game, and it's like Kajimi, Geonosis, it's like I know that. Yeah. I'm there. I'm walking on the planet.
I want to suspend disbelief with this new game. I'm gonna try to play it in a vacuum.
I can't wait. I'm so unbelievably excited. And I
want it to be so large that you have to delete every other game within your hard drive just to have this in. Just to encompass.
Just delete Call of Duty and you'll be fine. You can put every game that's been released in the last 5 years on your PC if you just delete Call of Duty.
It is outrageous how every update is like 500 gigabytes. It's freaking ridiculous.
And it doesn't replace the last updates. It's just additional space. I'll run this out by... I mean, no surprise to anyone.
Eric, what do you think?
It's Andor for me. Like, to me, right now, Andor is... It's every stage of my life into one project. It's the magic of seeing Star Wars as a kid, the edginess of being a teenager, and the moral, political complexity as an adult. It is, I think, It is the Star Wars that... I'm like, this is just a show that I want. This is the magic of what this is what I always thought it looked like as a kid with all those. And now as an adult, I'm like, I think it's just as good. I think that it doesn't get better than this, and there's more of it, and it's going to have an ending, and there's actors and creators who love it. Like, for all the reasons around it, and just for the feeling I get when I watch it, like, I still remember where I was. I remember where I was when I saw Kenobi and where I watched Mandalorian the first time. Like, I remember watching that Lucid Real monologue where he's like, you know, I share my dreams with ghosts. And it's like, I'm like, damn,
dark,
dude.
It was
like,
dark,
this
man.
Is Star Wars.
Like, everything he said felt like it was out of a Beatles album, like, but during their acid time.
Every day, yeah. I was like, oh.
Absolutely.
It's true.
Yeah, it is an unbelievable
thing. It was dark
thing.
And moody, and it existed in vacuum of itself. Like, it doesn't feel like there's no cameos. Nope. There's nothing. It's just like, it's just going to be a start-to-finish story and... You don't know who's going to live and who's going to die. Like, it just feels...
And it's made with intention. Yeah. Every person from the people who made the costumes to the people that framed the shots to the dialogue writers, like, it just seems like it is everything that I never... To your point, Corey, I couldn't imagine what Star Wars television would be, right? I couldn't imagine asking for this. And it doesn't retroactively make other things I enjoy worse, but it is easily when I think of, I'm excited to get another Star Wars tattoo on my body, like, Andor... is the product to me now that makes it work.
Any Cassian's face on your chest?
Well, fun fact! Giggle, I mean, come on, there's worse faces down your chest.
Yeah, I mean, God.
I should just tell Charlie and just do that. Put it like right on the pack and
I'm
be like...
I'm sure that'll go well.
Tony Gilroy must have had just literally an ironclad contract for that to happen.
I'm going to make what I want to make. Well, he said recently, he says it's the most important thing he's ever made.
Really?
And he's in an interview, he's like, he spent 5 years with it now at this point. He's like, I think it's the most important piece of work I've ever been a part of, and I've loved a lot of stuff that I do. Like, if people haven't seen, he also did, like, Michael Clayton, a couple of really good political thrillers. But he thinks Andor is his magnum opus, and I'm like, dude,
magnum opus.
Magnum opus.
Give a magnum opus, John.
Is it our friendship?
I think those goats had a magnum opus.
You need to go get that checked out.
Listen, goat cheese is delicious. All right.
All right, everybody.
Really good. It's delicious.
Magnum Opus is actually the name of your goat cheese brand you're going to start off.
That's a good name.
Dude, Magnum Opus cheese.
Dude, that's it.
That's for sure. Magnum Opus goat cheese.
Not bad.
We're at top of that, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to this week's episode of the Atenea Show. Happy May the 4th to all of you. We hope you have a great week. Let us know in the comments if you're going to go see The Phantom Menace this weekend. Me, Corey, and Charles are going to go together, and we're going to FaceTime Wes in the theater. I'm kidding. Turn your phones off when the theater goes on. Go watch Tales of the Empire. Enjoy your favorite piece of Star Wars content. Buy some merch. But as always, make sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel. We will see you next week when we are going to talk about Charles' favorite thing in the whole world that has caused me and Corey a significant amount of pain. On that, have a good night, everybody. May the Force be with you. We'll see you later.